Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part two of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 18 called Entangled.
I want you to see the connection, go back to chapter 18, between David and Jesus. We are fighting this battle for you. You are the light of Israel. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not remain in darkness. He will have the light of life. And they said, we don't want that light to go out. David, you have shown us a light. Even as imperfect as David was and how guilty he may have felt, he was still a light to his people. And you're a light at work. Even when you don't feel like you're shining the brightest light at work, remember, the Lord is the light in your life. All you got to do is get out of the way and let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. If people need to put sunglasses on when you come into the room, praise the Lord. It's all right. You're doing your job. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? David wrote that. The Lord is my light. Why was David a light to his people? Because the Lord was his light. So the king said to them, 18:4, whatever seems best to you, I will do. Now, David was no wimp, and David wanted to go out to battle. We could ask the question, why? And we're going to find out that he's going to say something to these commanders as to part of what's on his heart. And here's what it was. He didn't want Absalom to die. And it may be that David wanted to go out because he felt like if there's a situation where he has to have a confrontation with his son, he's going to try to reason with his son. How many of you have seen the latest Star Wars movie? I think it's the one where Han Solo meets his son on the bridge. You remember that? And he's trying to talk his son away from the dark side, right? And you're sitting in the movie theater and you're thinking, now this is good. This kid, hopefully he's going to come back home. He's going to come back to reason. He's going to come back to his parents. But then he takes his lightsaber and he hits Han, and it's a terrible scene. And if you haven't seen the movie, I'm so sorry. If you haven't seen it by now, what's wrong? I mean, come on. But I apologize. But anyway, so here it is. We've already opened the door. So here it is. It goes through him, and Han dies, and everybody in the movie theater is like, oh, wow. I mean, I think that David felt like maybe he could talk some sense into Absalom. Maybe he could say, son, stop this. I don't want to be at war with you. I'll give you everything I have, but don't do it this way. They said, stay in the gate. Stay in the city. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. The king charged Joab and Abishai, verse 5, and Ittai, saying, these three commanders, he said, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king charged all the commanders concerning Absalom. The king's emotions were tangled. He loved his son despite all that Absalom had done and was doing. And he said, please, I have one request. Please go easy on my son. Now, the people who were going out to war, the people who had been in the wilderness, been inconvenienced, wanted nothing but to take Absalom out because Absalom was at the heart of their problems. But David said to them, please spare him. And he gave them a charge. When the king charges you to do something, it's not a suggestion. It's a solemn charge. In 2 Timothy 2:14, Paul gives Timothy a solemn charge in the presence of God not to wrangle about words which are useless, but to be diligent, to be approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who rightly divides the word of truth. In 2 Timothy 4:1, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and by his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. These are not suggestions. These are charges. I charge you in the presence of God, this is what you're to do. David wanted them to go easy on Absalom. And you might be asking the question, why would David do this? Absalom had killed Amnon. He had ravaged David's harem. He had usurped his throne. Why would David want to go easy on Absalom? Because David was a dad. And that's all I need to say. Because if you're a parent, you never stop loving your children, no matter what happens. And David was a father. And by the way, David could relate to Absalom because everything that Absalom had done, David had done. David had committed adultery. David had committed murder. And David had been forgiven by God. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, O Lord, who could stand? And David felt responsible for what Absalom was doing, at least to some degree. So he said, please, if you come across my son, please go easy on him. The people went out into the field, verse 6, against Israel. The people represent David. Israel is now those on Absalom's side. And it would appear that Absalom's army is much bigger than David's. And so they went out into the field, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. Just a side note, this may mean that the battle took place on the west side of the Jordan. There may have been other battles that took place on the east side of the Jordan, and Israel would have been pushed back across to the west side. But the forest of Ephraim is part of the Holy Land or part of the Promised Land, the tribe of Ephraim you can recognize there. And so they went into the field, into the forest, and this is where the battle took place. And the people of Israel, that's Absalom's side now, nation fighting against its own nation, you know, people against its own people. But Israel, Absalom's side, were defeated there before the servants of David. And the slaughter there that day was great. 20,000 men died. 20,000 casualties. And for what? For a power struggle? What's at the heart of most war? A struggle for power. What's at the heart of war in families? A struggle for power. A struggle sometimes over money that's been left by some relative, really, and there are casualties. What's at the heart of war today? Both outside and inside the church. Oh, it happens in the church as well. Well, James says it's because you lust. And you want what you want. And the battle there was spread over the whole countryside of the forest, devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. I don't quite know what to make of this language, if this is metaphorical, but we do know that the forest devoured Absalom, as we're going to see. Absalom actually had a tree branch become his demise. And I couldn't help but think of the Lord of the Rings movies when the trees get involved in that battle. How many of you? Come on now. Come on. All right, good. Now, the trees were called Ents, I think.
The last charge of the Ents. Little hobbits. And they,
yeah, if you haven't seen it, repent. And return to your first movie selections. I don't know. But anyway. How about this? How about the trees and the Wizard of Oz? Come on. Anybody? Dorothy takes an apple. What are you taking my apple for? Woo! And then the scarecrow engages the tree.
Well, she doesn't want one of your apples because it has little green worms in it.
Are you saying my apples aren't what they ought to be?
I'll show you how to get apples.
Okay, you haven't seen the movie? Again, they ended up with apples. That's where the saying, how do you like those apples, comes from. Maybe. And Absalom, now Absalom, verse 9. Happened to meet the servants of David, for Absalom was riding on his mule. A mule was a royal mode of transport. And the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak. Now remember, they're in a forest. It seems to be very dense. And his head caught fast in the oak. So he was left hanging between heaven and earth, or NIV says he was in midair, when the mule that was under him kept going. Now, there are some commentators that believe that Absalom may have been looking around, distracted in the battle. The mule is riding along, and his neck got caught between a branch and the boughs of a branch. That's a possibility. There are others, and I think more ancient commentators believe his hair got caught in the branch. Whatever it may be, he was dangling there, suspended in midair between heaven and earth, and the donkey kept going. Hey! I think Absalom was probably whistling for the donkey. Come back! Donkey kept going, just like Absalom's kingdom was about to disappear. The donkey kept going. And so, if you look at chapter 17, verse 14, it tells us who's behind this. 17:14 says, middle of the verse, "For the Lord had ordained to thwart the counsel of Ahithophel in order that the Lord might bring what? Calamity on Absalom." The Lord, who is over nature, was behind this. Job 5:13 says, "He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the cunning comes quickly upon them." And when a certain man saw what happened to Absalom, he told Joab and he said, "Behold, I just saw Absalom hanging in an oak tree."
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
Your financial support helps keep Walk in Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part, every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it. For the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
We'd love to hear from you. If today's teaching on Walk in Truth encouraged you, challenged you, or raised a question, reach out and let us know. Send your comments, reactions, or questions to contact@walkintruth.com or give us a call at 844-48-TRUTH. Your story and feedback matter, and they help us continue equipping believers to apply God's truth to their daily walk. That's contact@walkintruth.com or 844-48-TRUTH. We look forward to hearing from you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
Come on now. Come on. Lord, all right, good. Now, the trees were called Ents, I think.
The last charge of the Ents. Little hobbits. And they,
yeah, if you haven't seen it, repent and return to your first movie selections. I don't know. But anyway, how about this? How about the trees and the Wizard of Oz? Come on, anybody? Dorothy takes an apple. What are you taking my apple for? Woo! And then the scarecrow engages the tree.
"Well, she doesn't want one of your apples because it has little green worms in it."
"Are you saying my apples aren't what they ought to be?"
"I'll show you how to get apples." Okay, if you haven't seen the movie, again, they ended up with apples. That's where the saying, "How do you like those apples?" comes from. Maybe. And Absalom, now Absalom, verse 9. "Happened to meet the servants of David, for Absalom was riding on his mule." A mule was a royal mode of transport. "And the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak." Now remember, they're in a forest. It seems to be very dense. "And his head caught fast in the oak. So he was left hanging between heaven and earth," or NIV says he was in midair, "when the mule that was under him kept going." Now, there are some commentators that believe that Absalom may have been looking around, distracted in the battle. The mule is riding along, and his neck got caught between a branch and the boughs of a branch. That's a possibility. There are others, and I think more ancient commentators believe his hair got caught in the branch. Whatever it may be, he was dangling there, suspended in midair between heaven and earth, and the donkey kept going. Hey! I think Absalom was probably whistling for the donkey. Come back! Donkey kept going, just like Absalom's kingdom was about to disappear. The donkey kept going. And so, if you look at chapter 17, verse 14, it tells us who's behind this. 17:14 says, middle of the verse, "For the Lord had ordained to thwart the counsel of Ahithophel in order that the Lord might bring what? Calamity on Absalom." The Lord, who is over nature, was behind this. Job 5:13 says, "He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the cunning comes quickly upon them." And when a certain man saw what happened to Absalom, he told Joab and said, "Behold, I just saw Absalom hanging in an oak tree." He ran over to the commander. Joab seems to be over the whole army. And he says, "I saw Absalom hanging in a tree. This will be the end of me." It became a Sabbath school song. You guys never heard that one before? Absalom hanging in the tree? That's because it never existed before right now. So your perplexed look is correct. Absalom was dangling in the tree, low-hanging fruit, a sitting duck. I don't know what else. How else to describe it? An Israeli pinata? That's good. That's good. I'll add that for second service. God stopped Absalom right in his tracks with a tree. God can use anything he wants to use. And by the way, he has a history of using donkeys as well. Remember that story? Oh, yes. So the mule rode off. The tree had, you know, Absalom by the neck. And Absalom's just dangling there. The guy that was so handsome, so good looking, so powerful, had this great strategic plan in place, and a tree branch stopped him. Come on now, there's some humor there. But on a serious note, anyone who hangs on a tree, according to Deuteronomy 21:23, is under what? The curse of God. Isn't it interesting that Ahithophel hung himself, and now we have Absalom hanging in a tree, and Deuteronomy 21:23 says, "Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree." This is how they would execute someone who had violated the Torah, the law. Had Absalom violated the law? Oh, yes. Who was meting out the judgment? Who put him on the tree, if you will? The Lord. The Lord was dealing with Absalom. And we know that Jesus Christ was hung on a tree for us, though completely innocent. God the Father treated him as though he had committed our sins, including the sins of Absalom, the sins of the whole world. And then Joab said to the man, verse 11, who had told him, "Now behold, you saw him. Why then did you not strike him there to the ground? I would have given you 10 pieces of silver and a belt. I would have given you a trophy and money. I would have given you treasure, a champion's belt. It would have been yours, kid." And the man said to Joab, "Even if I should receive 1,000 pieces of silver in my hand, I would not put out my hand against the king's son, for in our hearing the king charged you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, 'Protect for me the young man Absalom. Don't do any harm to him. Otherwise, if I had dealt treacherously against his life, 13, and there's nothing hidden from the king, then you yourself would have stood aloof. You wouldn't have had my back. Don't expect that I would have broken the king's law here." And Joab said, "I will not waste any more time here with you." So he took, you know, this is a bit of a impugning of Joab's character, right? Because Joab is telling people to go against the direct command of the king. And Joab was a bit of a loose cannon at times. And so Joab said, "I'm not going to hear you anymore, little man. Get out of the way." And he took three spears in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. He took three spears and killed the king's son while he dangled there. Remember, the account is very abridged, so we don't have the travel that took place. How long did Absalom dangle there? We don't know, but we know that Absalom is there in the tree and he's stuck. And don't you imagine he was probably crying out to people? Don't you think there were some people around? Help me, get me out of here. And apparently nobody came to Absalom's rescue. And now Joab takes these spears, shows up at the tree, and pierces them into the heart of Absalom. When Jesus was dying on the cross in John 19:34, one of the Roman soldiers, to make sure he was dead, took a spear and pressed it into his heart. And blood and water flowed out. And, you know, the language here seems to be that there was a mortal wound given by Joab. But notice what happens. And 10 young men who carried Joab's armor, their armor bearers for this commander, gathered around and struck Absalom and killed him. They finished him off. So I don't know if he was still barely alive. I don't know if in the thing that Joab did, if he stabbed him and then he fell down from the tree, and then these 10 circled around Absalom and finished him off. But whatever the case may be, Absalom was dead. The Bible says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I want you guys to see this for a second, because this is extremely important for your understanding of the theology of the cross. Jesus was hung on a tree on the cross, not because he sinned. He became accursed for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When Jesus is affixed to the cross, it is not for his transgressions, it's for yours. It's for mine. And Jesus is being treated as a common criminal, as though he had sinned against God the Father, because he decided he would take the place that you and I deserved. And he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He died for the sinful ways of people like Absalom and people like Michael, and you could put your name in there. He died on the tree for you and for me. And Joab blew the trumpet, 16, and the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab restrained the people. Once Absalom was dead, they figured all bets were off. They blew the shofar. The people heard it. They took Absalom and they cast him into a deep pit in the forest. They did not bury him in a family tomb, which would be an honorable burial, but put him in a pit, how apropos, and erected over him a very great heap of stones, and all Israel fled each to his tent. By the way, Achan was buried in this way under stones, and so was Ai, Joshua 7:26 and Joshua 8:29. And all Israel, on the side of Absalom, fled to his tent. They heard Absalom was dead. They heard what had happened. They fled.
You've been listening to Entangled, Part 2 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel, chapter 18. If you need prayer or encouragement, call us at 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, what if you're not the one entangled, but a friend of yours is, and you so desperately want to take your giant scissors and cut, metaphorically speaking, and get them out of it, but you can't rescue everybody. And maybe somebody's, you're watching someone go down a destructive path, and you realize, man, I can only do so much. This breaks my heart. What do I do? Well, I think we need to pray for people, because we can't forget about the power of prayer and the power of our God. But the book of James says, you know, pursuing people who are caught in sin and bringing them back will bring restoration to their lives. Very end of the book of James. And so I would say, ask the Lord for wisdom on when to pray and when to act and how to combine those two things, and he will lead you.
Hey, if we can pray for you in any way, one way you can submit prayer requests to us is to call this number, 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. We're here 9 to 4 Pacific time, Tuesday through Friday. If you'd like to talk to a pastor about a prayer request, pray with them or get prayer, 844-48-TRUTH. If it's off hours, just leave the prayer request on the line and we'll make sure we pray over you. 844-48-TRUTH. See you tomorrow.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part 3 of Entangled. I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.